Today, I'm going to talk about our research on remote sensing of root zone soil moisture and other geophysical parameters using P-band remote sensing. Different applications or different targets for remote sensing of subsurface, including soil moisture in presence of vegetation, permafrost depth, active layer thickness, depth of river or lakes, and also monitoring of buried objects for, let's say, like unexploded devices. And for all of these, low-frequency radars have proved to be very powerful tools to monitor and detect. To get a little narrower in subject, if you want to focus on the cycles of water in the environment and the feedback of that on climate change, we need to quantify a few parameters. And of those parameters are, of course, profile of soil moisture, up to root zone, evaporation, transpiration, groundwater, precipitation, and ice and snow. And out of all of these parameters, root zone soil moisture is among the least studied parameter in the cycle of water in nature. Again, a little narrower, one of the most important factors that affect the climate change is the quantification of carbon flux and the uncertainties in quantification in the carbon flux. One of the factors that affects the uncertainty is coming from the uncertainty in quantification of the roots on soil moisture. So the more accurate and the more certain we are about quantification of roots on soil moisture, the more certain we will be in quantification of carbon flux. So these are the questions that we try to answer in the project AIRMAS that I'm going to talk about in a bit. What are the heterogeneities of root zone soil moisture in different scales, either local, regional, or continental? And then how does the soil moisture affect the carbon flux? And the last question would be, if we increase the accuracy in estimating soil moisture, how that would increase the accuracy in estimating the carbon flux. And now, to answer these questions and to basically attack the problem, we use remote sensing as electrical engineers. And these are the outline of a remote sensing problem. The inputs, which are the radar data, the raw radar data, and then the land cover parameterization and soil parameterization that are available either through groundwork, ground measurements, or ancillary databases. And the outputs are usually soil directed constant or soil moisture roughness, which is an important factor. We may not be interested in the roughness itself, but we cannot ignore it either because it affects the backscattering coefficient of the radar and the vegetation kernel or other vegetation parameters. To solve the problem, we need two forward models and inverse models. For forward models are usually the radar scattering models, the electromagnetic models, which are either fully numerical or fully analytical or somewhere in between. And then the estimation methods, which are usually, at least the way that we have used it, are global optimization schemes because of their power, but some people have also used the local optimization schemes or Newton-type algorithms. This is a typical scenario when we're dealing with scattering of radar signals. Either a non-vegetation surface, several layers with possibly rocks in different layers, or vegetated layers with some roots. And these radar paths, as you see, there are multiple reflection transmission between the layers. Same exist here. And these have to be modeled in any electromagnetic scattering model. And a little more detail, in a general forested area, we have above ground parameters, which are directly from vegetated cover. Multi-species, multi-layer vegetation, and by multi-layer vegetation we mean like branches and then the trunk, large branches, small branches, and then the allometric relationships that would relate different parameters of a tree to each other. And then the below-ground model, which are related to the soil, different, what are the number of layers of soil, what are the characteristics of each layer, and of course each of these soil layers would add to the unknowns of the problem. So, and we, of course, we cannot treat everything as an unknown, so we have to know a priori what are some of those parameters from ancillary databases. Again, above ground model, we have, let's say, if we consider just a tree, there are many, many parameters, and we cannot retrieve more than two or three unknowns in each problem because, let's say, we are we have a P-band radar, we only have at most 8 HVV and HV channels. So we have 3 data points, and we cannot retrieve maybe more than 3 or 4 unknowns. So we have to parameterize trees as accurately as possible. Uniqueness is another issue in the inversion problem here. Some people have used vegetation water content as the sole determining parameter of the vegetation, but that is not accurate because for two different scenarios shown in this picture, you can see these two scenarios could give you the same vegetation water content. A less dense forest. Here we have a denser forest, but shorter vegetation. Both of them might have the same vegetation water content, but they would give you the same. They would not give you basically the same backscanning coefficient. So we decided not to use vegetation water content as had been used historically before. For the below ground, we are dealing with scattering models from layered soil. Of course, these layers could have rough boundaries, and there are several models of scattering from layered soil. These are, as I mentioned, could be fully analytical, which of course they make some approximation. They could be fully numerical, which are usually not appropriate for remote sensing problems because they are very, although very accurate, they are very slow. So in the inversion algorithm, they will cost a lot to invert a parameter. You usually cannot afford that computational cost. Or the hybrid models, which is like a balance between accuracy and speed of the model. The scattering model that we used for our purpose, it is called small perturbation method, which is an analytical scheme assuming that the roughness of the soil in each of these layers is small compared to the wavelength, which for P-band is a very good assumption. I don't want to go to the details of this method, but this is the method that we have used, and this is the citation. If you're interested in the mathematical details of that model, you can refer to that. There is another scheme that we are planning, hopefully, to use in the future called Stabilized Extended Boundary Condition Method, or SEBCM. It is sort of a semi-analytical, semi-numerical scheme. It covers a wider range of soil roughnesses, but of course at the same time it costs more in terms of computational resources, and we are hoping to switch that to be able to cover more a wider range of soil roughnesses. But the output would be the same. The output would be the backscattering coefficient of a layered rough surface structure. And then once we have a forward model in place, we have to choose an inverse model. We have used an optimization approach to the estimation problem, and we have used a simulated annealing-based algorithm. Again, I don't want to go to the details of the this scheme, but this basically is a global optimization scheme. It's very powerful, and since we are dealing with a nonlinear problem, that possibly has several local or a lot of local minima, we wanted to use a global optimization scheme to be able to retrieve or find the global minimum effectively. And this is the very general outline of the entire problem. So we have ancillary data layers, which includes soil texture database, some probably ground work, ground measurement of vegetation parameters, digital elevation map, radar data, and then allometric equation that could relate different parameters of vegetation to each other. Numerical scattering models are in place. Now we have everything in place we can retrieve for the soil moisture, which is our main target. And we use simulated annealing method to retrieve soil moisture profile in several sites for the air mass project that I will explain shortly. Something I didn't talk about yet is how to model soil moisture. Of course, we want to retrieve root zone soil moisture, and for root zone soil moisture, we cannot afford to retrieve the soil moisture of all the layers, or basically we cannot afford to discretize soil into several layers and retrieve soil moisture of each layer because of the limited number of unknowns that we can retrieve. So we model the soil moisture as a profile, an analytical function, as quadratic function here, and we retrieved A, B, and C, the coefficients of this function. And once you have A, B, and C, then you can get soil moisture at any depth you want, up to a certain depth, depending on the accuracy that you're willing to get. Something that we have not included in the in our models for AIRMAS project is the roots of vegetation. They could affect the backscattering signal of radar significantly. So some room for improvement in the future for either soil moisture work or permafrost work, we have to include roots of the vegetation in the forward scattering models. Having said all of these, let me just talk a little bit about AIRMAS, which was a project between all these institutions here. It ended officially at the end of 2016. It flew a P-band radar aboard a Gulfstream 3 aircraft. This is basically the pod that housed the radar equipment and the antenna. This is the frequency of operation of the P-band radar here, and it was fully polarimetric, but we only used H, H, and VV due to some calibration problem. We didn't use the HV channel for retrievals. These are the sites that AIRMAS covered, 9 sites in North America, 1 of them in Canada, 2 in Mexico and Costa Rica, and the rest of them were inside the continental U.S. Each of them had a different land cover, landscape, basically. This is a sample of the flight swath. This is Walnut Gulch watershed in Arizona, approximately 120 kilometers by 20 to 25 kilometers. This was the area covered in each site, and root zone soil moisture was retrieved over this area. A sample of retrieved soil moisture map. This is from, again, Walnut Gulch, I believe. As you see, surface soil moisture at 10 centimeter, 30 centimeter, and 75 centimeter. So we went up to 1 meter for 2012, and then we reduced the validity depth to 50 centimeter later on in 2013, 14, and 15 because we wanted to get more accurate results, so we reduced the validity depth to 50 centimeter. But for Walnut Gulch, we went up to 100 centimeter. And this is the overall accuracy assessment of the entire project over 4 years, 2012, 13, 14, and 15. But for only 5 of the sites, USC team took care of, 4 of the sites JPL took care of. These are the sites that USC took care of. So we put everything here, all the depth in situ measurements at every single point that was available at those sites, and at every depth that was available, and all the dates that the flights happened. And we put everything on one scatter plot and compared the retrieved value of soil moisture and the measured soil moisture. And this is the RMSE of the measurements versus retrieved values. At the 5 centimeter, all the way to 10 centimeter, all the way to 25, and all the way to 45 centimeter. The requirement for the air mass mission was that the first top 25 centimeter RMSE from the first top 25 centimeters should be less than 5%, and this is has clearly been achieved, 4.97%. One of the applications that we are, one of the projects that we're working right now is application of the P-band remote sensing, basically for permafrost region to retrieve active layer thickness in Arctic region, specifically in Alaska North Slope, that we have been working a little bit, but this is a project that was recently funded and we're working on starting last January. And this is just one of the sample retrieval results of soil moisture at the Dead Horse site in Alaska. Dead Horse is around this area in Alaska. But this is very preliminary, and we are working to advance the methods and increase the accuracy of the active layer thickness retrieval and other parameters like below ground biomass using both P-band and L-band radar. This is a joint retrieval project, not just P-band. And another method that we also applied to our retrieval algorithm was a collaboration that we had with Utah State researchers and University of Arizona researchers. We implemented some physics-based criterion or bounds on our soil moisture profile representation. So instead of just representing soil moisture profile as a quadratic function, we solved a Richards equation, and we represented the soil moisture profile based on that solution or based on that approximation to Richards equation. If you are interested in the details of the work, you can refer to this citation, but this is the ultimate solution to the soil moisture profile. So instead of retrieving those three coefficients A, B, and C in the quadratic profile function, we retrieve C1, C2, and C3 in this form of soil moisture. And then we got, depending on what depth you're interested in, you can get the soil moisture at that point. And this is just a comparison between two different approaches, quadratic approach and Richards equation-based approach. And RMSC for berms 2015, all the flights over berms area in Canada reduced significantly from 4% to 2.9%, which shows the power of this method. So in summary, basically we have shown that P-band remote sensing, or generally remote sensing, active remote sensing, is a very powerful tool in retrieving parameters of either soil moisture or permafrost. Air mass was successful, was one of the first kind to retrieve root and soil moisture using P-band with that accuracy. There are much room for improvement in the future work, either in the instrumentation. Of course, there is always room for improvement in terms of algorithm that you're using, either forward model or inverse model, and of course the new project or the part of the above campaign, there is always work to be done in the Arctic region because of the climate change concerns that exist these days. Thank you very much.
One quick question for our viewers.
We can, because we retrieve soil moisture, and we can compare that with the surface SMAP product, surface moisture SMAP. I'm sorry? Ours is up to, I mean, most of them is up to 50 centimeters, but we have, we definitely have the Surface product as well. So we can compare that with SMAP product.
Since the like SMAP L4 product is also for root zone soil moisture.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the result.
Thank you.